I'm a fun
you
guy.
You have fun when they finish below 500.
I'm just Captain Fun.
I guess.
I'm gonna wear a captain suit to the show from now on.
I don't like the half point.
Well, that's called the hook.
I don't like it.
What the hook?
How do you get rid of it? Can you get rid of the hook?
I'm gonna have a coronary. I'm getting too old for this job, but you guys may have won.
Upset. If you look back at where the term came from, it was from a horse race. Upset.
When did you turn into Cliff Clavin?
I like this job. I've had it for a long time, Paul.
Last one.
This
point.
Is in the chemistry lab.
You're on the verge of next year's Super Bowl.
I can't help what I think. Be honest, Paulie. You're not doing this for other people's entertainment. You are truly enjoying this.
This is Orange Nation. With Stephen Fonte and Paulie Sibilia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside, I am literally alongside Paulie Sibilia for the first time in like 2 weeks.
Back in the office.
It's good to see you, my friend.
I am not communicable anymore.
That's great news. That's the best news.
It's the first time in my life I've ever said that.
We've got Dean Zilkowski coming up at 12:15, lacrosse writer for Syracuse.com. Coming up in hour number two, Mike McAllister, publisher of AllSyracuse.com, will join us. Plus, we'll mix in your phone calls at 315-437-7644. It's been a while since you and I have been in studio together.
That's right, Steve. And we're also on QSportsTalk.com. And got to thank Al really quick, as he just subscribed for 7 months. Look at
that. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Al.
Wow.
Big
spender.
Yeah. What stood out to you from the weekend?
Boy, golf was fun.
Golf was fun. I love that you are watching golf because
I didn't turn it on to the playoff. I'm not going to lie to you.
I've always enjoyed golf, and the fact that we can come in here on a Monday after a big tournament and I don't have to sit here and talk to myself about golf, I love it.
But
I love that you're into the game.
But basically,
now.
It's me saying, yeah, that guy from Italy, right? Is that where he's from?
Mito Pereira is from Chile.
Oh, Chile. Yeah, that place. He choked.
He did
the
choke.
Chilean choker. What do you think? Was it a choke or was it a bad club selection?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, he went to the 18th hole with a one shot lead, and
yeah,
and the guy that you know is chasing him is finished. I mean, Justin Thomas had finished. You know, Will Zalatoris was finishing up as he hits the 18th tee. Par wins you the tournament, you know? As we learned in Tin Cup, sometimes par is good enough to win. I know
you just got to calm down when you're leading.
It's tough, though, and that's why, you know,
last year, I was going to say, Phil was the same way last year when he was leading. He was just out smashing the ball around, not paying attention to what was going on around him.
It's tough because, you know, I mean, we saw Scottie Scheffler after he won the Masters. He admitted that morning he was in tears. He was crying, and his wife had to calm him down, you know, to the point where, you know, get him in the right frame of mind to go out. It's hard. Like, to sleep with a three-shot lead, like, he knew going into Sunday, he's ranked like 100th in the world. Like, he knew going into Sunday that he was supposed to win. Right? He's got a three-shot lead. It's a tough course, tough conditions. You got the best players in the world chasing you. And the mental stress that puts on you. I mean, golf is an individual game. It is all on you.
When you're ranked that high, too, you're not ready, right? You're not ready for that.
I think there's something to be said for that you have to learn how to win in the big moment. And sometimes it takes failures in order to figure it out and to get it done the next time. He'll learn from this. Like, that was a learning experience. I hate to say anybody choked, but, I mean, I think he would admit that there was a little bit of that.
What happens in golf doesn't happen in any other sport, though, really, right? It's all on you.
Right.
Nobody else, like, even in baseball, you're up, but somebody in the outfield could make an error.
Yeah. I think tennis, to some degree, I mean, tennis is very much a mental game. But you're going up against another opponent. In golf, it is you and the golf ball.
Yeah, like in tennis, the other guy could screw up and you could get...
Right.
Like, only you can cause yourself to lose.
I texted you yesterday, this is moving away from Mito Pereira, we'll get back to that, but, you know, just talking about it's all on you. I am amazed, and I texted you yesterday when Will Zalatoris was on the seventh hole, or sixth hole, rather, and he put it into those bushes, and it's like... There is a chance for, like, his whole tournament, after 3.5 days of putting himself in position, there is a chance that hole it will just be a disaster, and any chance he has of winning will go up in smoke. We saw it with Scottie Scheffler at the Masters, the very end of his third round, where same thing, he had to take an unplayable, calls the rules official over, and you're like, this could be the tournament for him. And just his ability, you know, Will Zalatoris did it yesterday. He took 15 minutes. He talked it through with the rules official, went through every option, every scenario. Okay, I'm going to play it off the cart path. And he gets up and down for bogey. And again, as it turns out, that saved him a chance to get into the playoff. We saw both sides of it, right? We see, you know, in that case, you know, mental strength from Will Zalatoris. We saw with Mito Pereira on the final hole. Maybe the pressure got the best of him. Club selection, whatever you want to call it. It's tough, though, to tell a guy like Phil's a great example because Phil has made a career out of just being Phil. And what has cost him some tournaments, you know, maybe has won him some tournaments, and that is he is always aggressive, right? He knows one way to play. And it's hard to, in that spot, like if that was Mito Pereira's play, you know, all week long, and he went to the 18th hole with a lead, you trust what got you there, right? You know, you dance with the girl you brought. And unfortunately, it was a bad swing. It was a quick swing. I mean, I think that's where the pressure got to him. It was a quick swing. You know, it goes into the water. He ends up double bogeying the hole, and he loses out on his chance. But he'll learn from it. But it's tough to tell a guy, you know, play it safe here. Don't do what you've done all week long. And it unfortunately for him, it came back to bite him.
Yeah, but don't you think if you're that good, you should know? Slow down. Let's get through this.
They're human beings, though, right? I mean, they're human beings. And we talked about that with Scottie Scheffler at the Masters, how I was amazed about how, you know, even when he was in trouble, he found ways to, you know, and his lead evaporated on Sunday, and then he chipped in on that third hole, and then he ended up running away with the tournament. The ability to slow down when you're in the face of pressure, it is difficult to do. And I think that you can tell yourself going to 18, okay, I got this, one good swing, put it down the middle. Some guys thrive on pressure. You know, Tiger's always been like that. You know, he went through that long stretch where anytime he led a major with the lead, like he was unbeatable. If he was tied for the lead or had the lead on Sunday, he was the ultimate closer. We saw Justin Thomas yesterday. The back nine and that playoff, every shot, fairway, green, gave himself a shot at birdie. Obviously didn't make all the birdies, but I mean, he was, talk about laser focus. Some guys rise to the occasion when the pressure's on, and some guys don't. And unfortunately for Mito Pereira, the it felt like the moment was a little too big for him.
Yeah, and this is how it ended for it's funny, we just talked 7 minutes on this and not talking about a guy coming back from seven shots down at one point. Yeah, we're talking about the guy who choked, and this is how it ended right here on ESPN Radio, thanks to Westwood One.
Two putts to win the 104th PGA Championship. There's not a lot in this putt. Might move a little to the left at the hole. Gets it out to the right. This looks like it's got pretty good speed. It's looking really good. It's got a chance. It just grazes the edge. Only goes about a foot and a half by. Will has taken his hat off. And Justin Thomas is walking around for the quick tap. And he's got it. A two-time major winner of the PGA Championship. Justin Thomas is your 104th PGA champion here at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
He didn't have a chance going into the final round, right? He was seven shots back. He didn't have a chance. But he played steady golf. You know, and it wasn't even like he put up a 65. I mean, he was 3 under yesterday. He just played really steady, and it turned out to be good enough. The field came back to him, and in the playoff, he didn't hit a bad shot in the playoff. Everything was right down the middle. I guess his tee shot on the first playoff hole did go into the rough, but he was able to recover. He was awesome, and he certainly deserved it. And that was a case, you know, Will, I didn't think Will Zalatoris lost it, you know. That was just a case of Justin Thomas went out there and won it in the playoff.
How do you feel about the three-hole playoff instead of the sudden death?
I like it. It's
Bills fan. Gives everybody a chance. I like this.
Well, in golf, both get a chance, yeah, if it's one hole. But yeah, I think it helps determine the true winner. Not that a one hole playoff doesn't, but you hit one bad shot and you lost. Whereas at least in a three-hole playoff, you have a little bit of margin for error, although Will Zalatoris didn't really have a margin for error because Justin Thomas didn't make a mistake. I don't know. I like the three-hole playoff better. You?
Okay. I like sudden death. I like it just, you know.
Just the way it is?
Yeah, I just sit there for an extra 30 minutes watching that, you know.
An extra 30 minutes.
It should have been over after the second hole, and I could have been done. They were even on the first hole, and then boom, second one, I could have gone and done some
I think
chores.
You might be the only, I was going to call you a golf fan. I don't know if I can call you a golf fan. So you wouldn't have enjoyed seeing more holes yesterday?
I ain't got time for that. No. Okay. No.
You had a Padres game to watch.
No, it was already over.
Oh, it was over.
Okay. But I have cleaning to do, and I'm just getting over COVID, and I'm an OCD guy, so I Cloroxed my house from top to bottom.
You did.
The ceilings are clean. It was, yeah, but no, but yeah, I the quicker the better.
I had to sit there for another half hour.
Get me through it. You want to hear?
You act like that was like the Waste Management Open. That was,
you know,
the.
We sat there. I'll let you pronounce his name because I'm not good at that.
Mito Pereira?
Yeah, him. He actually did the honorable thing and did an interview while the playoff was going on. It was pretty amazing. And if you watched it on TV, it was weird because it looked like they were on a green screen of the actual golf course they were at, and it was freaking me out. I was like, why aren't they outside instead of standing inside at a fake golf course when you're actually at the real golf course?
It's tough, you know, to finish like that. Really good week. I didn't play really well today. Just needed to do a couple more birdies, so just hit it a little bit better to win. But just happy to how the week turned out. I mean, on Monday I just wanted to make the cut, and on Sunday I wanted to win. So really hold to that and take this to learn from the future.
We talked yesterday about everything that you can learn from this 18T. Talk me through it. Did it feel like you were moving faster than you wanted to, or what were you feeling in that moment?
I was okay. Yeah, I just, it was a weird, I mean, you see, it's not a good swing, but I just wasn't thinking about the water. It's weird that I just hit it in the water. I told my coach, like, it's weird that it went in. But I guess it's, you have so much pressure in your body that maybe you don't even know what you're doing.
Your best friend Joaquin Niemann called you fearless. We know this is not going to stop you from succeeding in the future. Yeah. Thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you have so much pressure. Maybe you don't know it. I don't think there's any doubt that he got sped up by the moment, and he will learn from it.
Can we just talk about one more thing before in a nonsensical thing with golf that I noticed this? There's some dope at the golf tournaments now that just yells the most bizarre things every time they hit a ball, and it somehow is a guy yelling right into the crowd mic.
Yeah, well, they know what they're doing. I mean, that isn't necessarily new. I mean, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, and I know, but it's bizarre. Dolphins are taking over the world. And you're like, what in the hell is that guy yelling about like that for? You know?
You don't like that.
No, shut up. I liked golf when it was quiet. No, I like the fact that fans are now allowed to emote at golf tournaments.
Right.
But the guy who's just yelling bizarre phrases, and you're like now Googling why would you yell the Dolphins are taking over the, you know, like.
What about the guy?
That's how I end up spending my day is Googling what they're yelling.
What about the guy that, as Justin Thomas took the 18th tee in regulation? Were you tuning in at that point?
No,
you're still
I wasn't.
Watching Padres. So he takes the 18th tee. He's down by one. And he's talking to his caddy, and there's this guy that's just relentlessly saying, like, hit the driver! Hit the driver! You gotta hit the driver! Just over and over again. And he ended up hitting the driver. He didn't birdie, but anyway, it was a phenomenal final round. One that I didn't want it to come to an end. Apparently you did. You were glad when it was over.
Yeah.
But I was entertained, so.
People are, apparently there's a lot of Baba Booey's going on.
Yeah.
Still. Is that still going on? Come on. Although it keeps my old immature head entertained because I Google exactly what they're yelling.
That doesn't shock me. 1 year from today, it's 1 year from this past week, it's in Rochester, Oak Hill. We should do our show from there.
Yes,
make that happen.
I'll work on it right now.
Make that happen.
We gave away tickets last time. there was a
I was there covering it for Channel 9. It's a great event.
Yeah, I was up there. A
lot of walking.
Why can't I think of the guy's name whose show I was producing?
Oh, I was going to say, Sean McKeel won it.
No, I can't remember. Radio guy. I'll tell you next segment.
You're getting old. You forget these things.
Yeah. John Feinstein.
There you go.
I was producing his show. I took a vacation from work and went and worked another job.
For nice.
Extra cash. And got to enjoy golf.
Yeah, that'll be fun next summer. That'll certainly give us something to talk about. All right, let's take our first time out here. We've got Dean Zilkowski on the other side. We're going to talk lacrosse with him. The SU women's season coming to an end. Came to a screeching halt at the hands of Northwestern by a final of 15-4. We'll talk with Dean next. You're listening to Orange Nation on ESPN Radio.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Hour number two of Orange Nation underway on ESPN Radio. Stephen Pauly with you up until 2 o'clock. We've got an interview here with Mike McAllister, and then we'll open up the phone lines at 315-437-7644.
It's funny. We were just coming out of the break, and you go, hey, yeah, the name changed to the Dome, JMA Wireless Dome. What do you think? Like, do you have any thoughts? No.
Right.
Like, I don't. And the fact that there's people mad about it, like, I don't get it. Like,
I don't really get it.
Why do people vocalize that on Twitter? Like, yeah. It's the same people that are mad at the seat colors.
I could understand if people were upset if the term dome was not in the name. Like, it'll always be the dome. I get that. But what people upset that it's not Carrier Dome anymore. Like, to me, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. But in any event, let's go to our guest line to bring on Mike McAllister.
I'll never go to another game.
From AllSyracuse.com. Mike, I guess let's start there. Since we last talked, there is officially a new name, the JMA Wireless Dome, the JMA Dome, as they're going to call it for short, or you could just call it the Dome, which we have for the last 40 years. Your thoughts on the name change?
I think regardless of whether you like the name, it should be viewed only as a good thing. And here's the reason. If you're a supporter of Syracuse Athletics and you want the programs to do well, part of the reason or part of the way that they are able to do that and have the resources necessary to do that is with increased revenue stream, which helps with facilities and paying coaches and funding programs and all of those things. This was an area where Syracuse was well behind the game prior to this agreement. So removing Carrier as the name and bringing in a new partnership is a great thing for additional revenue streams into Syracuse Athletics that should help you keep up with the arms race and facilities races and things like that, and paying coaches the appropriate salary at the Power 5 level. So I think from that perspective, it should be viewed as a good thing. And the other thing is, you know, they talked about having 5G Wi-Fi in the dome and these upgrades and improvements that they're going to make as a result of this partnership, which should also improve your fan experience, right? I think we've all experienced a frustration of trying to text someone or tweet something or whatever else and not being able to because there's so many people in the dome that did the wireless access or, you know, the Wi-Fi access or your signal. It just doesn't seem to work as efficiently as you'd like. So if that improves, as they're suggesting that it will, then that improves your fan experience as well. So I think regardless of the name, everything else that comes with it should be viewed as a very positive thing for Syracuse Athletics.
Yeah, how many years did we hear there's no air conditioning in the Carrier Dome? At least we're going to have 5G wireless in the JMA Wireless Dome.
Well, we hope.
So let's also get your take on the other controversy of the dome that's happening right now. Blue seats. Where do you fall on the blue seats versus orange seats in the Carrier Dome?
If you all go to the game and the stadium is filled, doesn't matter what color the seats are. How about that?
Yes, I agree.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. I get the you're the orange, and so you want the orange seats, but there's other things involved with the decision-making process, such as, you know, what if the orange seats are three times more expensive than the blue seats? Then do you want them spending that extra money on that and not getting other amenities that you could have if you allocated your funding a little bit differently so that you get the blue seats and then you add a couple of other amenities to it? You know, there's a lot of variables that go into those types of decisions. So I understand the preference for the orange seat, and I understand a little little bit of the, oh, I would have liked to have seen orange seating, but I thought the reaction to it was a little above and beyond what I would have expected, although I should expect more overreactions on social media, on social media at this point, I guess.
And Mike, here's the thing. Pete Sala has poured his heart and soul into that building, and him and his staff, and they are professionals. Like, I'll go with the professionals. Like, they didn't just wake up one day and say, you know what, we want to irritate the fan base. We could go with orange, but we're not. Like, they looked into it. They had reasoning why they went with the blue. I'm going to trust in Pete Sala and his staff that they did what they thought was best.
It's also, Steve, like, if they did orange, it would... Somebody would complain about the orange.
Not the right orange. And that was one of the reasons they said that it's hard to get it exactly right. So I'm going to go with Pete Sala and the professionals on this, who it's their job to make sure they get this right. And that was the decision they made. And I'm completely fine with it. As you said, Mike, it doesn't really affect me one way or the other.
Right, exactly. And you know, if you've got 25,000 people in there for a basketball game, 40 plus thousand people in there for a football game, no one's going to care. And they're not. If Syracuse wins games or doesn't win games, it's not going to be because of the color of the seats in the dome.
Agreed. All right. We're gonna talk football and basketball with you, but since lacrosse season just ended, I do want to get your thoughts on the women's team the women's season coming to an end. 15-4 to Northwestern. We had Dean Zilkowski from Syracuse.com on a little bit earlier. I asked him this question. I'll ask it to you. You know, year one under Kayla Traynor, they were right back there in the national championship mix as the five seed. The way in which the season ended, though, are you still comfortable calling the season a success? Or, you know, can you look past that 11-goal margin and say, you know what, for year one under Kayla Traynor, it was a pretty good year and they'll try again next year?
I think it was a good year and they'll try again next year, but I think it's fair to say that it was a little bit of a disappointment. I don't think it's fair, you know, going into almost any year saying if you don't win the championship, then it's a bad year. I don't like necessarily labeling a season that way, but not getting back to the Final Four with the expectations coming into the year. I understand they had some injuries, but they still had a lot of offensive talent, and to only score 4 goals in that last game. I mean, they had issues with this team all year. You know, goaltending was a struggle all year. Defense outside of Sarah Cooper was an issue for a large part of the year. And I think with all of the injuries that they had, I think it just became too much by the end of the year. So I think there's still reason to be optimistic with Kayla Traynor and the direction that the program is going, under her direction. But I also think it's fair that if you view this season, given the talent that they had on the roster coming back and how everything played out, viewing it as a little bit of a disappointment with how it ended.
All right, let's talk recruiting now. Syracuse, I know, has had visits from wide receivers out of the class of 2023 and 2024. Safe to say that it's a position of emphasis right now for Dino and his staff. I mean, what's the latest you can tell us about the recruiting of the wide receiver position?
Yeah, they had a 24 wide receiver, Teron Hale, on campus towards the end of last week, and you know they've hosted a lot of prospects for both classes at that position over the last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks or so. But for 2023, I don't think that's a position where they're going to get, you know, 3, 4, 5 commitments. I think they're focused on maybe getting a couple. And the top target is Josh Richards out of New Jersey. He's been their top target for quite a while. He visited for Junior Day and then visited again in April. And now he's scheduled an official visit for next month. He'll be on campus with a bunch of other prospects. So the fact that he's coming back for a third time, that speaks to two things. One, his interest in Syracuse is very legitimate. He actually called Syracuse the team to beat after his visit on Junior Day back in March. Maryland and Wake Forest are certainly trying to change his mind on that front, but... I think Syracuse is clearly prioritizing trying to get some playmakers in at the wide receiver position so that they can bring a little bit more balance to the offense. That's certainly a point of emphasis.
We know Syracuse also had a visit from Jaleel Smith, a defensive end, 6'5", in-state guy from Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. Is it You know, we've had this topic on the show before. I don't want to say debate necessarily, but fans have been upset that, you know, Dino doesn't do enough to keep the New York guys in state. Do you think that's becoming more of a priority, or is this just a case where they really like this kid and it just so happens he's from Brooklyn and is a New York guy?
Yeah, they're not going to force it, and they're a little bit – I understand the criticism from the perspective of that they're a little bit more picky with their evaluation of a kid from New York. They don't want to take a kid from New York just because he's from New York and then have him play 4 years as a backup and you know, never actually sees the field in a meaningful way. When they get a guy from New York, they're looking at a guy that they think can become a potential starter for them. It's, you know, whether or not he does obviously depends on a lot of factors, but that's how they're evaluating New York State. So there have been more prospects in the 2023 class and 24 class that have visited that they've shown interest in, and they've got two of their three commitments in the 2023 class are from New York State. So I think there has been a little bit of an emphasis to, perhaps evaluate a little bit more in-state prospects and see if you can find some that are a little bit under the radar. But at the same time, you're not going to be able to make up your class of more than, you know, potentially a handful of guys from New York State. You start getting 10, 11, 12 players from New York, your class probably is going to lack some depth in certain areas. So they're targeting certain players, targeting certain positions, more so because of players that they really like. But they're also getting into New Jersey and Pennsylvania a lot more in this recruiting cycle, which I think is important as well. So there's clearly been an emphasis on the Northeast, not just New York, but the Northeast in general, and trying to reestablish some pipelines that have been pretty good historically for Syracuse and get Syracuse back into those conversations.
All right, on to basketball now, and you had a video of Chris Bunch dunking on your Twitter feed, which you got from his father. What can you tell us about Chris Bunch? Does he remind you of any SU basketball player that we've seen go through the program recently, and anything about him and what he's going to bring to the table that you want to share with our listeners?
He's just really, really athletic. I mean, you start looking at what part of the issue was with last year's team, and I know lack of athleticism was something that fans harped on quite a bit, and for good reason. Chris Bunch does not have that issue. He's like Benny Williams, just a terrific athlete and really bouncy, and you can see that in those video clips. And he's a little bit better of an outside shooter, I think, than he's given credit for. The keys for him are going to be how quickly does he learn the zone, where is his ball handling at, those types of things. But he certainly fits the mold of the prototypical long, athletic, bouncy, get out and transition type of forward that has, I think, a lot of upside as an outside shooter. I don't know if he's going to become this type of a player, but he's reminded me a little bit when I've watched him of Chris Joseph, who he didn't really shoot the ball all that well from the outside early in his career, but became a pretty good outside shooter throughout, you know, towards the end of his career at Syracuse. I think Chris Bunch has the potential to maybe go on that type of trajectory where early in his career, he's a decent outside shooter, but by the time he gets done with his college career, he's a really proficient outside shooter as he develops that area of his game. He might be a little bit more advanced than Chris was coming out of high school in terms of his ability to shoot from the outside, but I've seen some similarities in the way that he seems to approach the game and what I saw from Chris Joseph. So I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. Obviously, there's always going to be some differences, but I think if he ends up being close to the player that Chris Joseph was, Syracuse fans will be pretty happy with that.
You know, it's going to be what it looks like, a freshman and a sophomore with very little experience playing the forward position this year. And someone in the Q Sports Talk chat wants to know, are you surprised they did not go out and try and get a forward out of the transfer portal?
Not really, simply because the problem is, you know, if you go try to get a power forward to bring in, you know, someone with experience, what does that do for Benny Williams? You know, you recruited Benny Williams to be someone who could contribute a little bit as a true freshman, and then by the time he's a sophomore, take over as a full-time starter. And do you now not believe in his ability? You know, I know there were a lot of fans clamoring for more Benny Williams last season, believing that he could make a difference, and now you're going to get that. And now we want to replace him with somebody. So, you know, I get I get the concern with the lack of experience and, you know, who are you going to play at the three, I think may be the bigger question. But they've got several options, and, you know, Justin Taylor perhaps sliding down there as one, you know, Chris Bunch being another. But, you know, there's always a give and take in that if you bring someone in, do you lose someone else? What does it do for how everyone else reacts to that? And, you know, for better or worse, the pitch to these guys that are coming in has consistently been, these are the guys that are leaving, these are the positions that are going to be open with available playing time. And that was part of the reason that they committed. You know, that a lot of coaching staff was part of it, certainly the brand name of the program and all of those things, but also the availability of playing time. And so now if you go out and get somebody, you know, could they view you as being disingenuous with your recruiting pitch to them? You know, that's certainly something that's that could be a factor in their decision to potentially leave either now or after a year. So I think you kind of evaluate all of that, see if there's, you know, anyone in the portal that you think is worthy of coming in, and then evaluate how it would impact the rest of the roster as well. So all of those factors played into it. I really wasn't all that surprised that they didn't pursue anyone.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, I've been following you on Twitter, and I see a five-star recruit, your dog, getting a lot of airtime on Twitter. Maybe a quick scouting report on your dog.
Yeah, he is loud and he is very fast, but he's also awesome, and he's protective of us and especially my son, and he and my son are best friends, and it's cool. When I was growing up, I only had cats. My mom was allergic to dogs, so we couldn't have them growing up, so this is the first dog I've had, and it's just been a lot of fun. And you know, he's sitting out in the backyard. My son's running through the sprinkler, and he's just sort of sitting there chilling. And I took a picture, and I liked the way it turned out, so I posted it. And people seem to like pictures of dogs for whatever
reason.
They
love it. What's your dog's name, by the way? We need that.
His name is Pigpen. So he was a rescue we got from Helping Hounds, and that was his name, was Pigpen. And we gave my son the option to change his name when we got him, and he said no. He wanted to keep it at Pigpen, so we did.
There you go.
I like an underrated Peanuts character.
That's right. Absolutely.
I think that might be the first time Paulie has asked a follow-up question in like the last month. So.
It was a good breakdown.
Do that, man.
That was a great breakdown, Mike. As always, appreciate you coming on. Enjoy the start of your summer, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Mike McAllister from AllSyracuse.com.
Mike scored himself a 5-star.
There you go.
In Pigpen. I like it.
Great breakdown, too. Yeah. All right.
Fast. Athletic, loyal. Pigpen's not getting in the transfer portal.
Nope. No.
He's staying right where he is.
Happy where he is.
That's right.
He found, well, he's transferred once. So that's it. You'd have to sit out of here if he transferred again. All right. We're going to open up the phone lines now the rest of the way if you want to check in. 315-437-7644. Time out here. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com.
This is Orange Nation.
I'm with it. I'm good with this song.
My baby daddy?
Yeah.
B-Rock and the Biz? This can stick around? Okay.
I'm looking forward to this segment. I love Jordan's parody songs. I didn't realize coming into work today that we were going to be treated to one, but we are. How did this come to be, gentlemen?
I have been reading about the Carrier Dome and the name change.
Uh-huh.
And it's now the JMA Wireless Dome. And I was singing a little song because I'm clever. I made my own parody in my head. It, like, when you have a dog, Steve, you tend to sing songs to your dog a lot. And I was singing this to my dog for no reason. And then I came in and sang it here. And Jordan was like, that's a great idea, Paulie. And he took it and ran with it.
All right. I mean, and then you put this, you had retired after the last one, but you're out of retirement for this.
Yeah, we're Brett Favre-ing. Came back in on Friday. No show, but we were still grinding away. There's a lot in this one. A lot in this one. I'm not the only voice featured. There's a lot going on.
Does this song have a name?
Who did the duet with you?
Well, there's some stuff edited in. Nobody else sang, but there's a lot of pieces.
Oh.
Does the song have a name?
I'll go with a dome with no name / JMA. It's a medley, not a melody. It's
so this
a
is
medley.
The world premiere of Jordan's new parody song. Enjoy, everybody.
Who would have thought perpetuity meant carrier dome for life? There's GMAX and Sherms and Shumps and Bings. In 2003, they got that ring. The first thing I noticed was the seats hurt my butt. That's why we stood until they scored. The dome was hot, my cell service it died, and wind pushed me out the doors. I ran down the sidelines of a dome with no name. Let me tell you, it wasn't the same. It was Carrier, we all remember the name. Even though Syracuse sports have caused us some pain. La 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 la.
The heat is on, he rolls out, it's the last play of the ball game.
Here we go. Here we go. Shout out, Ken John Wildhack.
J M A J M A J M A the JMA Wireless Dome.
It's JMA, I'm wireless. JMA, blue seats where I sit. JMA, renaming the dome. JMA, 5G's about to explode.
This is Orange Nation.
All until the end. You had me till the end. That was brutal. Oh, I apologize to anybody's cats who's just jumped out of their windows.
She's about to explode.
Come on, Didi, you didn't like the hair metal?
Oh, Jordan, you've done it again.
That was brilliant.
It really was.
Ridiculous.
It really was. How often can we get these?
I don't know.
Someone wants to know how stoned you were when you made that, Jordan.
I made it at the work office. So do I plead the fifth on that?
Fauci's about to explode.
Oh, that's so good and so bad. That's why I love his parody songs. They're so bad and good at the same time.
Oh, Jordan,
beautiful.
You can't retire. You can't retire.
That was very good, Jordan.
It was.
I thought I'd get a little more out of JMA blue seats where I sit. I thought you liked that a little more.
No, I like it. I liked it all. Yeah, it was good work.
That was a Friday for me. That's what I do on Friday.
Yeah, because for some reason I was singing like all weekend, playing in a dome with no name, and Jordan took it and made it better.
Jordan took it and he ran with it. I tell you what, why don't we? I personally want to listen to it again.
No,
No, you don't.
We're not going to listen to it on the radio, but can we play it again on QSportsTalk.com during
people
the break?
Pay to be in.
I want to listen to it again. It's like a movie. You pick up things you missed the first time around.
Steve zoned out during the whole song and he's like, oh, I didn't hear it. Darn.
No, I listen. I want to play it again.
People pay to not hear that type of stuff again in Q Sports Talk. But yeah, we can abuse them.
I want to play it again during the break. So go to QSportsTalk.com if you want to listen again. Well done, Jordan. We will wrap up the show right after this.